So this summer, we are doing our summer mixtape. Don't you like that graphic? I worked hard on it. Here we go. Summer mixtape. Yay. For all the youngins who do not know what a tape is, long time ago, there was this little thing that would spin around and it would record sound and play it back. Yeah, there were no buttons that you could press. It was like cassette tape. And actually, if you heard it like 20 times, the song would slow down or something. I don't know. But with that said, the reason why we're doing this is because as we are in Pastor Kevin's sabbatical, we were thinking about, hey, you know what? Let's have various voices from various places come and speak to us. And let's hear the word of God like a mixtape, you know? Like you just play it on and you hear all these different voices and different, you know, messages from God. And we wanted to do that. So that's what we call our series. And today, I'm one of those. Next week, Pastor Daniel will continue. But Pastor Daniel, he's going to do our main series. So we will have new series within the mixtape. And so Pastor Daniel will do those. And all the other pastors and all the other guest speakers, we will be doing whatever we want to do. So what I wanted to do, today was Mother's Day. And I was really thinking about it. And I wanted to preach a sermon on this verse. So if you could take a moment to read with me Isaiah chapter 46, verses 3 to 4. Let's all read it together. 1, 2, 3. Descendants of Jacob, all you who remain in Israel, I have cared for you since you were born. Yes, I cared for you before you were born. I will be your God throughout your lifetime, until your hair is white with age. I made you, and I will care for you. I will carry you along and save you. Take a moment and think about any word that pops up in your heart. I'll read it one more time. Listen to it carefully and think about some words that stick out. Listen to me, descendants of Jacob, all you who remain in Israel. I have cared for you since you were born. Yes, I carried you before you were born. I will be your God throughout your lifetime until your hair is white with age. I made you and I will care for you. I will carry you along and save you. Take a moment. All right. Now, just say it out loud. Any words that just stick out? Care? Mother? Any other words? Mm-hmm. Carry? Born? Look out? Praise God. Pregnancy, yeah. See, this passage is so interesting because of the language that we read the Bible sometimes. It's easy for us to see God just in one way. You know, God is not just the Father God that we always say. Sometimes there's a lot of people who actually call God Mother God because our churches have been always just talking about Father God, and the language is there to say Father God. Nothing wrong with that. But also, nothing wrong with saying Mother God. The reason why I say this is because God is not just a father and a mother. He is both. God, inside of God, we see passages that describe him in this way. Here, very clearly, it's saying, yes, I carried you before you were born. I carried you before you were born. See, this is very specific here. When we read scripture, we need to see the depth. And when we think about who God is. We need to dive deeper and think about who really God is, because there are many verses that expresses and describes who our God is. And our God is like this also. He is like a mother who cares. Not only that, in the book of Job, God asks Job, from whose womb comes the ice? Who gives birth to the frost from heavens? And even in Matthew chapter 23, verse 37, the words of Jesus, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often have I desired to gather your children together as a mother hen gathers her brood under her wings, right? Very specific. It's talking about a motherly love. From the book of Hosea, God's fierce love is compared to a mother bear robbed of her cubs. In Deuteronomy, God is spoken of as a mother eagle who's teaching her eagles to fly. She stirs up her nests, fluttering over her young, and bears them on her wings. So the Lord led Israel. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 11. And when God and Isaiah were trying to come up with a way to reassure the Israelite that God would never forget or forsake them, the image that said it best was that of a mother. From the book of Isaiah, God says, as a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. Isaiah 49:15 says, God says, can a woman forget her nursing child or show no compassion for the child of her womb? So I will not forget you, says the Lord. Do you get the image? See, God for us is showing us and letting us know that his love is just so big, so much bigger than we can just understand with our heads. We have the language mother and father, but it's just beyond that. And today we want to see this side of God. I want to share something that I wrote at the hospital and don't show the picture yet. When I was sitting I don't remember which hospital it was. I do remember I was in a hospital. I think it was Kaiser over there in Sunset. But we had a room, and I just saw my wife going through so much. It was like, I think it was over 10 hours that she was in labor, because her water broke a little bit earlier. And she was there. She was passed away or knocked off because of the meds. And she was just laying there, and I just felt so bad, because it was just so painful for her to go through all that. And I was sitting there, and I'm like, just, there's nothing much I can do. I'll just sit here, and I'll wait. And she was sleeping. And I took out my laptop, and I started writing, and this is what I wrote. To my beloved son, Daniel. This is the first time I've ever written to you. I know your mom has been writing to you every day. She loves you so much. You are so lucky to have her. I've never known someone so loving and caring in my life. She's someone who always sacrifices herself for others. Even when she was having contractions at the hospital, she never forgot to thank the nurses and the doctors and give a huge smile to them. You see, in this world, not many people are like that. But your mother is a loving woman who will care for you with all her life. When she had you, she was so happy and excited. I don't know if you will remember, but she did so much for you. She drew every word of the alphabet to teach you, and also wrote letters to you every day telling you about the world, about God, and about everything around you. There were so many times when she would explain to you everything she saw. She also decorated your room and prepared it for your coming. Every night,
She would ask me to read Bible stories to you. Daniel, your coming to this world has made us so happy. And even though it was a difficult time, especially for your mom, it was also the greatest time of our lives. I thank God for creating you. I praise Him for giving us the opportunity to be your parents. I thank God for giving us the greatest blessing in our lives. I bet all parents think of this when their child is born. All I want is for you to be healthy and well, and that you fulfill your calling from God. I promise to protect you and love you and always live by these promises. Thank you once again for being my son. Your mother and I are waiting eagerly for you. Daniel, my beloved son, we love you and we will always love you. My son, my beloved son. It was March 11th, 2015, a couple of hours before your birth. Love you, Dad. When I was writing this, I remember seeing my wife, and she was in pain. But even when she was in pain, she wasn't just in pain. She was happy because every contraction, she knew Daniel was coming. She had been preparing for Daniel's arrival for a long time. And you know, like, you have to see this book that she wrote. Like, it was literally like A, and then apple, and then she would actually draw the apple, and then she colored the apple, and it was beautiful. And I was like, that's A? Like, that's gonna take you a while to do all the way to Z. But she loved it. I have no patience like that. And I was so amazed that she would prepare that long. And she would talk to the baby. And for me, it was so weird because, you know, it's a baby. Like, can they actually hear you when they're in the mother's womb? Like, do they actually, like, hear what you're saying? But she would speak to the baby, pray for the baby. She would, like, feel the kicks. It was different for her because she was with the baby at all times. Now, when Daniel was born, man, he was loud. You know, my voice is pretty loud, so, you know, genetics. And so he was like, ah, you know? And I was like, wow, baby's crying. And the doctor was saying, this is good, the baby's breathing. So the first thing that the baby does, the moment it gets a little bit of air, is cry, ah! Have you ever heard a baby, like a newborn baby, cry? It's high pitch, super high. Ultrasonic. But the moment you put that baby and you give it to the mother, it stops. And I was thinking about that. I was like, how does that work? I was around the baby for so long. Why not me? You see, the baby had heard the beating heart. The baby had heard the mother's voice. It had felt the warmth, and it had felt the love that it was receiving. And it was just a really powerful moment. Because for me, it was the first day. But for her and Daniel, it was just another day together. You see, there is a special love that Daniel recognized that was different from the love I could give him. He knew my wife's love, her voice, her smell. He knew that he belonged to her and that he was loved by her. He knew that all he needed came from her. This is an amazing depiction of what God's love for us looks like, right? Like, God knows us before we were even created in our mother's womb. He carried us and he made us into this beautiful masterpiece. Look at the person right next to you. Do you see God's masterpiece in them? Tell them you are God's masterpiece. See, our God, when he created us, he didn't just take something, crumbled it together, and threw it on the wall. He thought about us and very specifically put everything that makes you, you. When you were created, you were loved by God, and you were created in the image of God. And you came into this world very specifically as a masterpiece. Whether we can accept it or not, every single part of us was planned by our Creator. There are no mistakes in you. You are who God created you to be. Daniel knew exactly when he came out that the love came from mom. And the moment he was with mom, he stopped crying. Because he knew where he needed to be. See, this imagery is so powerful because as we live, we forget this. You know what happens sometimes? We start filling our heads with wrong information. I want to tell you this story, and I've told it a couple of times, but once again, I'm going to tell you because it's so important for me, is that I went to Chile, in South America, Chile, when I was 2 years old. And there was something that happened over there that really affected the way I view myself, you know. I honestly think I am a Latino. Yo solamente podía hablar español y nada más. No sabía hablar nada más. Eso era mí. Todo lo que yo sabía, right? But some of you didn't get that. I really thought I was like Latino. I thought I was a Chileno. You would ask me. It would be so funny because you would see an Asian little boy who was fully Chile. And like you would ask him, like, who would you cheer for? Chile! Like if Korea and Chile were playing soccer, it's like, Chile! I was so in love with I thought it was my country at that point. And I thought I belonged to that community. I thought I was like everybody else. When, you know, I went to church, you know, like everybody like worshiped together. And I was part of that. And I played with my friends and all of that. But then I remember going to kindergarten and things started changing. The moment I went there, everybody stopped and said, oh, mira el chinito, you know. And it was really bad because this is back in the 80s, 85, and 88 actually. But we were the only Asian family in the whole city. Like imagine we are in Los Angeles, like downtown LA, and there's only one Asian family. Well, actually there was one more. It was our family and there was a Chinese actual Chinese family who had a Chinese restaurant. So it was only us two, and we would go to their restaurant. It was like, hey, what's up, Asian? It was like, hey. We would love each other so much because our foods were so different, yet we used chopsticks. So we're like, yeah, chopsticks. But the kids, man, it's like, oh, mira el chinito. Hey, chino cochino. Those two words kind of rhyme, and that's what really sucks. It's like when kids are so creative, they come with chino, 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 which means Chinese. With I'm okay with, yeah, call me Chinese. But then chino, cochino, well, you know how it rhymes? Cochino means dirty. So they would tell those things to me, and they would say things that are really, really mean, like cara de portazo, which means door face, cara de plata, which means plate face. And the kids would always make sure that I knew that I was different at every turn. And what that did is, as I was growing up, that really gave me a message that kept on making me view myself as somebody who had to work so hard to fit in. Like anytime I was at school, I pretended to be cool. Like they would call me Chino. I was like, hey, yeah, I'm Chino. What up? You know, like, or I would try to say, hey, I'm totally okay with you making fun of me because I want to fit in. I was trying so hard to be part of the community that it started messing up with who I was. What was happening is I was saying, I am not good enough. The way God made me, I was saying the way I am, the way I look, the way my face is and how I perceive myself is not okay. There's something wrong with me and I need to perform, I need to work harder to be able to fit in. And what that ended up making me happen, make me do, is I continuously worked so hard to get value from how other people would view me. And if I didn't do this, and if other people didn't accept me, I would believe that I would be worthless.
Do you know how damaging that is when you're an adult? What happens to me now is that I have a beautiful wife that I love so much. But whenever we have a conflict and it feels that there's this tension, I try to fix that. Like, she needs her space. I follow her like a little puppy because I want to fix it. Because I'm so scared that if she doesn't love me and she doesn't see me as a good person or loves me, that I'm worthless. What this did to me is that I started neglecting who God made me to be. And they started continuously trying to fit in by making my wife, like, fixing her problems, which I can't do. You know, and like a lot of wives say to their husbands, just listen. And I tried, I was like, no, I can't listen. I'll listen, but let me fix this. Because if I don't do it, if you don't like me, if you don't accept me as valuable, if you do not love me, who else is going to love me? Because I don't love myself. See, that is so bad. Like, why can't I love myself? And that was happening over and over again. And it's still happening to some degree. I try to not be that person, but I keep on putting myself into this place because of the experiences that I had in my life that keep on telling me that you're not enough, that you have to fit in, that you have to become this person that others value for you to have value. And because of this, I've always had this pressure to try to fix and try to fit in and try to become something that I'm not. I am saying this because as a pastor, sometimes we are scared to be honest with y'all. But I have no fear in saying that I'm as broken as you are. I am a broken person, and I know this about me, but I'm not going to continue to be here. I'm going to continue to listen to this message that God has for me. Fire broke out in Harrison, Arkansas, of January 7th in 2015. Police and firefighters worked to search the homes of a burning multiplex to evacuate anyone inside. One of the homes was engulfed in flames on all sides. The firefighters sprayed through and ran in the home to check it. In the upstairs bathroom, they found a woman, Catherine Benefil, 41 years old, heavily burned. Her arms wrapped around her 5-year-old son, covering him from the flames. Both were rushed to the hospital, but the mom succumbed to her burns. The son, while badly burned himself, remained in critical care but lived. See, this is a true story that happened. Catherine, she did everything to protect that baby. And this is something so powerful because we sometimes say mothers are like superhumans. They're like superheroes. At that moment, Catherine threw herself around the baby, 5 years old, and protected her, protected the baby so that the baby would live. This metaphor is so powerful because what we remember is that we have, in Scripture, we have the same exact story for us. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he did the same thing. And I want you to put some perspective on what it looks like that God loves and how much Jesus loved his disciples, right?
You see, it was Passover, and you can remember that Jesus was going to wash the feet of his disciples, and he comes and he starts washing their feet. But have you ever thought about the emotions that Jesus was going through while he knelt down one by one in front of them, and he washed their feet, which was very, very just so foreign, because that was a servant's job. He starts washing the feet of his disciples, but in his mind, he knows exactly what's going to happen after this, right? And one by one, he goes and he washes the feet. One by one, he washes the feet. And the disciples are like, what are you doing, Jesus? Why are you doing this? They were probably all very quiet. And they probably all were like, oh, like, what are you trying to do? Like, why are you doing this? And Jesus continues. He washes their feet one by one. And he's thinking to himself, these are the people that I love so very much. You have to remember who these disciples were, right? They weren't just people who heard the word of God. They weren't just people who just walked with Jesus. They were people who lived with Jesus. For the years of his ministry, they didn't know just Jesus as a teacher, but also as a friend. Just think, put yourself in that position. That you are a disciple and you are with Jesus and you're walking with Jesus and you hear him. Like, have you ever thought how funny Jesus actually was? What we know is that Jesus actually was like a great speaker, right? He had everybody just listen to what Jesus had to say. But at the same time, have you ever thought about what Jesus did after he was done with the sermon? He was probably like, ooh, that was fire. No? Maybe he would went to his disciples and say, hey, did you check out that part of my sermon? Ooh, that was good, wasn't it? Not that we actually do that as pastors, but yeah, just. But Jesus was probably cracking jokes and walking with his disciples, eating together and sleeping together. Like when you eat with somebody, when you sleep with somebody, you see the real self. And those disciples actually saw Jesus in a different way. They were the closest to Jesus. We only get the accounts of the Bible, but they knew him in flesh. That means they knew his voice. They knew every single detail about him, how he walked, how he interacted with others. They were that close. And when you're that close with somebody, you know how much it hurts to be betrayed. And when he was washing the feet of these disciples that he loves very much, you also have to remember, Jesus was not only God, but he was also fully human. So that means every emotion that we human beings feel, Jesus also was feeling at that moment when he was washing the feet one by one. He was like, oh, this hurts so much. I know what's going to happen. And I love them so much, and these people are going to deny me. You don't think Jesus was in pain while he was doing that? You don't think Jesus was crying inside? You don't think Jesus was in agony? We see very exactly that Jesus shows emotions when he prays to God. And obviously, when he was doing that, it was so painful. But at the same time, he knew that if I don't do this, that if I don't die on the cross, these disciples that I love so much won't be saved. So I have to do this. See, that's the love of somebody who cares. He could have just gone and died on the cross, but he chose to do this action, to touch them, to literally be with them and spend time with them in the last time so that they knew and they remembered this feeling. Like a mother hugs a baby for the first time. I want to show you the picture that I wanted to show you. Can you see, actually? Oh, wow. Well, that is, if you see very, this is like the magic eye. Do you guys remember magic eye? If you see very carefully on the right side, you see my wife. I promise you she's there. And then that's Daniel. You get it? This I did not anticipate. Okay. And
this is a beautiful picture because this is the moment they put Daniel on Nara's body for the first time. And that's the moment when that baby knew that he was safe. Like, he stopped. And one more picture, the next one. That is me. Can you see me? There's little James between all my friends who made fun of me. The reason why I'm showing you this is because that child is still in me. I haven't been able to grow up from there. And the truth is that that child comes out once in a while. Like, when I'm doing ministry sometimes, that child comes out. When I hear criticism sometimes, that child goes, oh, okay, I have to do something to fix this. When I'm in relationship with my wife, that child comes out and says, you gotta do something about it. And I'm pretending to be an adult in so many ways. All of us are. We all have a child within us that has been hurt, that has been broken as it came into this world. But I want you to remember one thing. I want you to remember this verse. Matthew 18, verse 3 says, and he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Why is this so important for us to remember that we are children? Is because it's okay. What God is saying to us is, yes, you have a broken child within you. You inside of you, there is this broken self that you have. And we pretend to try to be perfect. That's why we go out and we go in social media sometimes. And we try to like change in ways that people see us and people are just accepting of us. And they try to see, oh, yes, I am that person that I'm depicting on that place. I am making myself into this person that will be loved by others so that others will accept me. What Jesus is saying, none of that. Stop trying to be something that the world tells you to be. Stop trying to be in this messed up state where you're continuously trying to fix something that was messed up within you. Go back to being a child that God created you to be. That first moment when the baby comes and the first time cries. But the moment the baby is where the mother stops crying. Go back to being that child that says, okay, I'm messed up, but I'm going to stop trying to show the world that I'm not. I'm going to come before my maker and I'm going to say, you love me like my mother loves me, don't you? Like that first moment when the baby didn't do anything. It didn't need to try. It was cute by itself. You know how cute babies are? Their heads are huge. They're like that because God wanted you to feel love when you see them and also to protect their brains. But that baby doesn't need to do anything. It is loved. It is enough. That baby by itself is enough. The way God created that baby to be, the way God formed that baby to be, that masterpiece that is in you right now is enough. All the brokenness within you, those are things that happen afterwards, that the world did to you. That's not how God created you. Don't believe in that. Don't believe in other people telling you, you have to be like this, you have to be like that, you have to have this job, you have to have that, you have to be like this kind of person, you have to be perfect, you have to be out of addiction, you have to be like, you have to have all your stuff together. No! God is calling you to come before him like a child, like a baby. It makes it very clear.
Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. So let's take a moment to close our eyes. And if the worship team can come forward, please. I want to give you an honest moment to center yourself. Let's all take a moment to breathe in and breathe out. One more time, breathe in and breathe out. I want you to take a moment and put yourself in the love of God. For a moment, stop being so critical about yourself. Take a moment to look deep inside of you and see the person that God created you to be. I want you to remember this important message that God gives for us. That says that I love you so much. And my proof is on the cross. My proof. Is in the cross. I love you so much. That's why. I washed your feet. I walked with you. I lived with you. And I died for you. Because you're precious to me. So stop listening. And centering yourself in this other image that you have created for yourself. Listen to me. And listen how I love you. As we think about that, as we think about the love that God has for us, the love of a mother, the love that says, you knew me when you were in your mother's womb. You heard my voice. You heard my heart. And I formed you, and I love you. As we think about that, let's worship this song.